We are live at the Wisconsin State Fair. You know, I always tell people, it takes time to get in here, and Andy Tarnow jumps in the hot seats. Let me get your mic. There you go.
Straight out of the gate. I mean,
it's good to see you, my friend.
It's good to see you, too. I can't remember a time that it took an hour and a half to get across Milwaukee.
It's always crazy at the 10 o'clock start time because it coincides with the end of the rush hour and people want to get to State Fair. And this fills up quick, so it's always crazy. But I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad we don't have a ton of time. No, we have a lot to talk about in a short period of time.
So you and I worked together on the book that I put together on the Sikh Temple shooting, 6 Minutes in August. You were my editor for that project.
I was.
So you got to know the story very well. Certainly it's something that I remember every day. It's 12 years today. August 5th, 2012 is the actual date. Something that both weighs on you and sort of brings a greater significance to all the things we talk about. Your thoughts about this day?
Well, first of all, can you believe it was 12 years ago?
No.
I mean, I remember exactly what I was doing when the news broke, and I remember the subsequent days following. That's how you and I met.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed unbelievably tragic at that time, and it was. But now you think about all the mass shootings, now you think about the hate crimes, and I wonder if it just has become a blip in America's consciousness.
People have expressed that to me, and I said at the time, I hope this is the beginning of a more intelligent, informed conversation about gun violence and what we do about these things, and I'm not sure that that's happened.
I think it's gotten worse. I mean, yeah,
probably.
Like by the numbers, obviously it's gotten worse, but I think that the way people just accept it as like, well, here we go again, thoughts and prayers, and, you know, outside this group, how many people remember this?
You know, it's interesting. I don't think that a lot of people do. I can always meet people, and if they're really engaged in hearing my story, I will share some of this with them. Because, you know this. It changed my life.
Absolutely.
I would not be doing this job if I hadn't been that mayor in that position at that time in 2012.
It changed your life in lots of different ways.
Yeah, it's a weird coincidence. But it also brought an understanding of how dangerous the idea of hating someone because they look differently, pray differently, whatever differently. And that's really the essence of this story. Whatever the basis of the hate is, it often drives people to act out in these incredibly irrational, violent ways. And this at the time was one of the worst hate crimes that had played out in a place of worship. That's not even true anymore.
I remember how horrific it felt. And then now that we've had the distance and the time and the number of people who died, the weapons involved, it could have been so much worse, and it has been so much worse.
Albeit for an hour, it would have been horrifically worse, because there was only a few people praying and in the temple at that time, and my friend Kamal Saini, whose mom was shot in the back while she was praying that morning, it could have been 10 times that, given the firepower this individual brought with him.
Well, yeah, so I had to go back and look at this, because it's not something I think about every day, but this Nazi did not have an assault rifle. I mean, it was a pistol,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What if that would have been a bigger gun? You know, the same kind of gun that has been used in so many of these mass shootings.
And I don't want to, you know, talk about this and not remember the great heroism of, like, Lieutenant Brian Murphy.
Unbelievable.
I mean, he should, for all intents and purposes, should have been dead that day.
How many times was he shot?
More than a dozen times. 2 bullets still in his body. Shows up to save lives at the temple. The great retired police officer, Sam Lenda, who knocked the shooter down, who eventually the shooter killed himself. That's incredible response from first responders, and I don't want to discount that.
I don't either. I mean, that's selfless, just amazing heroism. The fact that it had to come to that is it a failure when the Secret Service takes out the shooter? You know, everyone says, yes, of course it's a failure. He shouldn't have shot in the first place. On the other hand, they got him. So, I don't know.
Andy Tarnow, my guest. We're going to continue the conversation after the break. You're listening, of course, to 620 WTMJ. We are live in studio with Andy Tarnow. We were talking about the remembrance of August 5th, 2012, 12 years ago today. I was a young mayor, new mayor, and all of that happened on that glorious Sunday morning, but didn't last long, and we dealt with a horrific mass shooting. Now, we're not going to solve this problem in 4 minutes, but I wanted to at least give you an opportunity, and I'll weigh in as well. When you're talking about the uptick and the common occurrence that is mass shootings in this country. I mean, what do you think we should do? It's a complex problem. We're not going to solve it.
Right. We're not solving that in 4 minutes. But I think it's, you know, the ship has sailed on whether or not we're, you know, banning guns and, you know, eliminating the Second Amendment. That's not going to happen. But I do wonder, because you're a gun guy, right?
I have guns. I hunt.
You hunt.
Yep.
Right. You know, what kind of gun crosses the line between an appropriate defense hunting, sporting gun and something that can be used easily for mass shootings? I don't know if I've ever heard of anyone hunting with an AR-15.
I guess some people probably do. I think that's sort of a foolish way to hunt. But I mean, the argument is this, right? The Second Amendment says I can do whatever I want, basically. Although it's not true. You can't take a loaded weapon on a plane. You can't own a military.
I mean, I can't get a grenade,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, so that stuff's off the table. So there always is going to be limits. And in the 90s, there was a limit on some of these types of weapons, commonly called assault weapons.
Yeah.
So I am not opposed to that. As long as we protect the rights of Americans to own guns, that's part of the Constitution.
Sure.
It shouldn't be changed.
But if the point of the Constitution is to be able to defend yourself, to be able to hunt, you know, that's one thing. And then, you know, there are guns that are made for that. I don't see a lot of people defending their homes with these AR-15s. I don't see a lot of people shooting deer with these things. These are designed to shoot a lot of people quickly.
What I don't like about this argument and this conversation is the arrogance of some people who often take a mass shooting as an opportunity to talk about gun rights and not the responsibilities that we all have and share as gun owners. And we forget about that.
Yeah, I think there are like a couple things that we could do. It's like real background checks. I mean, the neo-Nazi who shot up the Sikh temple, that guy had some issues, and he did have a background check, but apparently it wasn't a very good one.
Right.
Because someone like that should not be holding a gun. And you can't just blame it on mental illness. I mean, that's a pretty good straw man argument. I mean, obviously people who have certain kinds of mental illness should not be allowed to buy guns, but that's such a big, complicated issue that it takes away from the main subject of what's going on here.
When you see the proliferation of these types of weapons, I'm talking about the AR style rifles and guns and all of that stuff, where you can kill and shoot a lot of people in a very short amount of time. Sutherland Springs, Tree of Life Synagogue, it wasn't the case in Oak Creek, but other mass shootings. The ability to the Las Vegas shooting,
yeah,
the nighttime concert from the hotel, that those are examples of how this can go wrong quickly. And some real legislation, bipartisan, by the way, is important on this conversation.
I don't even understand who would object to this. I really don't. I mean, because if you're saying that the purpose of having a gun is for sporting purposes, for self-defense purposes, you have a lot of choices. And one of them shouldn't be having basically a civilian machine gun. Just like I can't get a grenade or a rocket launcher. I bet those would be fun. I bet that would be a lot of fun to play around with those. But that is not enough of a reason to be able to have everything be legal.
We'll end it this way. Is there a will among voters in this country to vote for people, install those people in offices that matter, like Congress, that could actually make a change? Do
I'm
you think
sure.
that will is there?
I don't know. I mean, you'd think after a Sandy Hook, yes, but then no. So Americans love guns, and that's why we have so many shootings, and it's just part of the it's the institution. I don't know what it's going to take to change it. Unfortunately, it wasn't that awful event 12 years ago. Do you have any ideas? Because I don't.
I know that it's not another mass shooting, because one after another, including, you mentioned Sandy Hook, one of the most horrific days of my life, recalling that story, you know, a few months after our story, it was hard to comprehend, and it was so maddening that happened to those children, and that accomplished nothing.
I think the only way you can do it is have realistic, honest conversations, right? Even people who don't like guns are not going to say, ban all the guns. They're already here. On the other hand, background checks, better background checks, banning the ghost sales, having certain types of weapons that are illegal, and having a real honest discussion about it without all the politics and all the rhetoric. That's the only way we start.
And I'll wrap it up with this. As much intelligent conversation on the responsibility side of gun ownership as there is on the ownership side. That is an important part of this debate.
Most gun owners are good guys. So let's
absolutely
let's engage them in the conversation and not the crazies.
Andy Tarnoff, you're part of my August 5th story, so thanks for taking the time to be here.
It's good to see you, Steve.